Hello and welcome to The Essential Reads. My name is Isaac and my goal is to bring to you a bunch of classic audiobooks in an easy and accessible way. We are continuing with Huckleberry Finn by Mark Twain and we are nearing the end of the book. As you can tell by looking at my very, very dishevelled hair, I slept atrociously, but that's fine because my voice feels good and we're going to get into the book. If you want to support the show, like, subscribe, share. If you're on podcast, leave a review. Or if you're anywhere and just want to support me for as little as €1 a month or $1 a month or one of whatever currency you have, you can support me on Patreon where you'll have access to exclusive audiobooks that you will only find there, such as The Alchemist by Pablo Coelho and the next book to come out, which is yet to be decided. I will do a poll on that very soon here on YouTube and also on the Patreon, and we'll decide together. Probably again classic literature, like something like To Kill a Mockingbird or maybe Le Petit Prince, The Little Prince, something like that. It'd be very fun. But without further ado and without more waffling from me, let's dive in. The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn by Mark Twain, Chapter 38. Making them pans was a distressed tough job, and so was the saw. And Jim allowed the inscription was going to be the toughest of all. That's the one which the prisoner has to scrabble on the wall. But we had to have it. Tom said, we got to. There weren't no case of a state prisoner not scrabbling his inscription to leave behind and his coat of arms. Look at Lady Jane Grey, he says. Look at Guilford Dudley. Look at old Northumberland. Why, Huck, suppose it is considerable trouble. What are you going to do? How are you going to get around it? Jim's got to do his inscription and coat of arms. They'll do.
Why, Master Tom, I ain't got no coat of arms. I ain't got nothing but dis yere old shirt. And you know I gotta keep the journal on that.
Oh, you don't understand, Jim. A coat of arms is very different.
Well, I says, Jim's right anyway when he says he ain't got no coat of arms, because he ain't.
I reckon I know that, Tom says. But you'll bet he have one before he goes out of this, because he's going out right. There ain't going to be no flaws on his record. So, while me and Jim filed away at the pens on a brick bat apiece, Jim making his out in brass, and I making mine out of a spoon, Tom set to work to think out the coat of arms. By and by, he said he'd struck so many good ones he didn't hardly know which one to take. But there was one which he'd reckon he'd decided on. He says, on the scutcheon, we'll have a band, or in the Dexter base. A saltire Murray in the fess, with a dog, couchant, for a common charge, and under his foot, a chain, embattled, for slavery, with a chevron verd and a chief, engrailed, and three invected lines on a field of azure, with the nombril points rampart on a dancent and danced. Crest, a runaway sable, with his bundle over his shoulder on a bar sinister, and a couple of ghouls for his supporters, which is you and me. Motto, Majore Freda, Minore Addo. Got it out of a book. Means the more haste, the less speed.
Gee willikins, I says. But what does the rest of it mean?
We ain't got no time to bother over that, he says. We gotta dig in like all get out.
Well, anyway, I says, what's some of it? What's a fess?
A fess? A fess is... You don't need to know what a fess is. I'll show him how to make it when he gets to it.
Shucks, Tom, I says. Think you might tell a person. What's a bar sinister?
Oh, I don't know, but he gotta have it. Old nobility does.
That was just his way. If it didn't suit him to explain a thing to you, he wouldn't do it. You might pump it him a week. It wouldn't make no difference. He got all that coat of arms business fixed, so now he started to finish up the rest of that part of the work, which was to plan out a mournful inscription. Said Jim, gotta have one, like they all done. He made up a lot, and wrote them out on paper, and read them off. So, 1. Here, a captive heart busted. 2. Here, a poor prisoner, forsook by the world and friends, fretted out his sorrowful life. 3. Here, a lonely heart broke, and a worn spirit went to its rest after 37 years of solitary captivity. 4. Here,
homeless and friendless, after 37 years of bitter captivity, perished a noble stranger, natural son of Louis XIV. Tom's voice trembled while he was reading them, and almost broke down. When he got done, he couldn't no way make up his mind which one was for Jim to scrabble on the wall. They was all so good. But at last, he allowed he would let him scrabble all of them on. Jim said it would take him a year to scrabble such a lot of trucks onto logs with a nail, and he didn't know how to make letters besides. But Tom said he would block them out for him, and he wouldn't have nothing to do but just follow the lines. Then, pretty soon, he says, "Come to think, the logs ain't gonna do. They didn't have log walls in the dungeon. We gotta dig the inscription into a rock. We'll fetch a rock." Jim said the rock was worse than the logs. He said it would take him such a pisin' long time to dig him into a rock, he would never get out. But Tom said he would let me help him do it. And then he took a look to see how me and Jim was getting along with the pens. It was most pesky, tedious, hard work, and slow, and didn't give my hands no show to get well of the sores, and we didn't seem to make no headway, hardly. So Tom says, "I know how we can fix it. We gotta have a rock for the coat of arms and mournful inscriptions. We can kill two birds with one stone with that same rock. There's a gordy big grindstone down at the mill, and we'll smooch it, and carve the things on it. File out the pens and the saw on it, too." It weren't no slouch of an idea, and it weren't no slouch of a grindstone, neither, but we allowed we'd tackle it. It weren't quite midnight yet, so we cleared out for the mill, leaving Jim at work. We smooched the grindstone and set out to roll her home, but it was a most nation-tough job. Sometimes, do what we couldn't keep her from falling over. She come mighty near mashing us every time. Tom said she was going to get one of us, sure, but we got through. We got her halfway, and then we was plumb played out, and most drowned with sweat. We see it weren't no use. We gotta go and fetch Jim. So he raised up his bed and slid the chain off of the bed leg and wrapped it round and round his neck. And we crawled out through our hole and down there. And Jim and me laid into the grindstone and walked her along, like nothing. And Tom superintended. He could out-superintend any boy I ever see. He knowed how to do everything. Our hole was pretty big, but weren't big enough to get the grindstone through. But Jim, he took the pick, and soon he made it big enough. Then Tom marked out the things on it with a nail, and set Jim to work on him, with the nail for a chisel, and an iron bolt in the rubbish and the lean-to for a hammer, and told him to work till the rest of his candle quit on him. Then he could go to bed, and hide the grindstone under a straw tick and sleep on it. Then we helped him fix his chain back on the bed leg, and was ready for bed ourselves. But Tom thought of something, and says, "You got any spiders in here, Jim?"
"No, sir. Thanks to goodness, I ain't, Master Tom."
"All right, we'll get you some."
But bless you, honey. I don't want none. I's afeard of 'em. I just soon have rattlesnakes around."
Tom thought a minute or two, and says, "It's a good idea, and I reckon it's been done. It must have been done. Stands to reason. Yes, it's a prime good idea. Where could you keep it?"
"Keep what, Master Tom?"
"Why, a rattlesnake."
"The goodness gracious alive, Master Tom. Why, if there was a rattlesnake to come in here, I'd take him bust out right through that log wall, I would, with my head."
"Why, Jim, you wouldn't be afraid of it after a little. You could tame it."
"Tame it?"
"Yes, easy enough. Every animal is grateful for kindness and petting. They wouldn't think of hurting someone that pets it. Any book will tell you that. You try. That's all I ask. Just 2 or 3 days. Why, you can get him so, in a little while, then he'll love you and sleep with you. He won't stay away from you a minute, and will let you wrap him around your neck and put his head in your mouth."
"Please, Ma Tom, don't talk so. I can't stand it. He'd let me shove his head in my mouth? For a favor, ain't it? I lay you way a path a long time before I asked him. And more than that, I don't want him to sleep with me."
"Jim, don't ask so foolish. A prisoner's got to have some kind of dumb pet. And if a rattlesnake ain't ever been tried, why, there's more glory to be gained in your being the first to ever try it than any other way you could ever think to save your life."
"Why, Master Tom, I don't want such glory. Snake take and bite Jim's chin off. Then what of the glory? No, sir, I don't want no such doings."
"Blame it. Can't you try? I only want you to try. You needn't keep it up if it don't work.
But the trouble's all done if the snake bite me while I's a-trying him. Mas Tom, I'm willing to take most anything that ain't unreasonable. But if you and Huck fetches a rattlesnake in here for me to tame, I's gwine to leave. That's sure.
Well, then, let it go. Let it go if you're so bullheaded about it. We can get you some garter snakes. You can tie some buttons on their tails and let on their rattlesnakes. I reckon that'll have to do.
I couldn't stand them, Mas Tom. But blame if I couldn't get along without them, I'll tell you that. I never know before it was so much bother and troublesome to be a prisoner.
Well, it always is, when it's done right. You got any rats around here?
No, sir. I ain't seen none.
Well, we'll get some rats.
Why, Mas Tom, I don't want no rats. They's the dead blamest critters to disturb a body and rustle random over and bite his feet when he's trying to sleep I ever see. No, sir. Give me garter snakes if I got to have them, but don't give me no rats. I ain't got no use for them, sexy.
But, Jim, you've got to have them. They all do. So don't make no more fuss about it. Prisoners ain't ever without rats. There ain't no instance of it. And they train them, and pet them, and learn them tricks. And they get them to be sociable as flies. But you got to play music to them. You got anything to play music on?
I ain't got nothing but a coast comb and a piece of paper and juice harp. But I reckon they wouldn't take no stock in a juice harp.
Yes, they would. They don't care what kind of music it is. A juice harp's plenty good for a rat. All animals like music. In a prison, they dote on it. Especially painful music. You get no other kind out of a juice harp. It always interests them. They come out to see what's the matter with you. Yep, you're right. You're fixed very well. You want to sit on your bed nights before you go to sleep, and early in the mornings, and play your juice harp. Play The Last Link is Broken. That's the thing that'll scoop a rat quicker than anything else. When you've played about 2 minutes, you'll see all the rats and snakes and spiders and things begin to feel worried about you, and come. And they'll just fairly swarm over you and have a noble good time.
Yes, they will, I reckon, Mas Tom. But what kind of time is Jim having? Blessed if I can see the pine. But I'll do it if I got to. Reckon I better keep the animals satisfied and not have no trouble in the house.
Tom waited to think over and see there weren't nothing else. Pretty soon he says, Oh, there's one thing I forgot. Can you raise a flower in here, do you reckon?
I don't know, but maybe I could, Mas Tom. But it's tolerable dark in here and ain't got no use for a fly nohow. It'd be powerful side trouble.
Well, you try it anyway. Some other prisoners have done it.
One of them big cattail-looking mullein stalks would grow in here, Mas Tom, I reckon. But she wouldn't be worth half the trouble she caused.
Don't you believe it. We'll fetch you a little one, and you plant it in the corner over there, and raise it. And don't call it mullein, call it petrolia. That's the right name when it's in a prison. And you want to water it with your tears.
Why, I got plenty of spring water, Mas Tom.
You don't want spring water. You want to water it with your tears. It's the way they always do.
Why, Mas Tom, I lay I can raise one of them mullein stalks twice with spring water whilst another man's starting one with tears.
That ain't the idea. You got to do it with tears.
She'll die on my hands, Mas Tom. Surely will, because I don't scarcely cry.
So Tom was stumped, but he studied over, and then said Jim would have to worry along the best he could with an onion. He promised he would go to the cabins and drop one, private, in Jim's coffee pot in the morning. Jim said he would just soon have to back in his coffee, and found so much fault with it, and with the work and bother of raising the mullein, and the jew harp sparing the rats, and petting and flattering snakes and spiders and things, on top of all the other work he had to do on pens, inscriptions, and journals and things, which made it more trouble and worry and responsibility to be a prisoner than anything he ever undertook, that Tom most lost all patience with him, and said he was just loading down with more gaudier chances than a prisoner ever had in the world to make a name for himself, and yet didn't know enough how to appreciate them. And they was just about wasted on him. So Jim said he was sorry, and said he wouldn't behave so no more. And then me and Tom shove for bed.
Thank you so very much for listening. If you enjoyed, please like, comment, share, all that jazz. And if you really enjoyed, do subscribe, because there is more to come. Only a couple more chapters now. And if you're listening on podcast, please leave a review. It is the easiest way to get this in front of as many people as possible. And if you just want to support me for doing this and want to have access to some cool private audiobooks, you can go to the Patreon for as little as $1 a month, and it is one of the easiest direct ways to support me. Once again, thank you very much for listening, and until next time, bye-bye.